Please join me in prayer. Be in our words, O God, and in our understanding. Be in our hearts and in the love we bring. Be in our lives and set us to praise, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And from Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high, I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. That I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a little different for me, so just bear with me, please. As we come to the second scripture reading this morning, I want to give you a little bit of background about the letter of Hebrews. This letter was written for Jewish Christians who were on the verge of giving up their Christian faith and returning to beliefs and practices of their Jewish ancestors. The theme of Hebrews is the absolute supremacy of Jesus as the revealer and as mediator of God's grace. Hebrews chapter 11, just before this passage I will read, shares stories of trial and tribulation of God's chosen: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and many others. These stories remind the early Christians and us about their faith and obedience that kept them in relationship with God, but looking toward the promised future that God had in store for them. Chapter 12 starts with the word therefore. In the Greek, that word is toigarun, which is defined as for which reason or consequently. Using therefore was a way to say, this is important, listen up. I've been using the New American Standard Version for study, and so I'll be reading this passage from that Bible. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord. As a child, I loved traveling on family vacations. We would take 2 weeks every summer, pack up the station wagon and the pop-up camper, and travel all over the country. In preparation for these trips, my father would get out the maps and begin to plan our route. During the trips, each of us kids had to take a turn at being navigator. He wanted to make sure each of us could read a map and locate where we were. I liked reading the maps to find where we were going and also to learn about the surroundings that were different than the center part of Florida. If I'm being honest, the best part of being the navigator was the conversation and quality time spent with my father as well. The skills my father taught me have stuck with me throughout my life. I love to travel, but always like to get out the maps and see what is on the path and where we might go. The possibilities are endless. However, over the years, I have also learned it is important for me to use these maps to get my bearings. I want to familiarize myself with the route, my surroundings, and what the possibilities are so I can be more comfortable while traveling. Heading off to a new place without being familiar with which direction to go is uncomfortable and has caused more than a few discussions on my family travels with my husband and children. As I was reading these passages of scripture, it occurred to me that Psalm 139 is like the beginnings of a well-known map. The psalmist lets us know that God is omnipresent by knowing when we sit down and when we rise up, searching our path, and is intimately acquainted with all our ways. God, our Creator, knows us better than we know ourselves, even down to the words we will say. And yet, God seeks us and searches for us, constantly watching and observing us. God knows all that we will do and where we will go. Samuel Annesley, a prominent Puritan nonconformist pastor in the late 1600s, suggested that it would be good for us as Christians to repeat Psalm 139 every morning and evening because, in his words, it is David's appeal of a good conscience unto God. It has the added benefit of reminding us of what is called the Shema from Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. This portion of scripture is the Jewish confession of faith that was to be recited and taught to children when you lie down and when you rise up, a constant reminder to the connection to the one who knows us intimately. During our recent Created by God weekend with the 15 fifth and sixth grade students, we talked about the history of the word intimacy. It comes from the Latin word intimus, meaning closest. In the PowerPoint slides, there was a list of words that are characteristics of intimacy. Words like honesty, trust, time, communication, talking, listening, forgiveness, commitment, laughter, crying, and love. The conversation with the students was about a variety of late relationships, including best friends and family, while pointing out that our most intimate relationship should be with God. Think back for a moment over the past week. How intimate were you with God? Maybe you are more like me. I certainly talked to God, but I'm not really sure I took the time to listen. Did we settle in for a special time with God as we would for a dear friend? Or was the conversation mostly arrow prayers consisting of a sentence or two that didn't take very long? Was there honesty of emotions that may have included tears, laughter, joy, anger, or frustration? Fortunately, as the psalmist declares, our Creator God knit us together in our mother's womb, knows us better than we know ourselves, and has all of our days mapped out for us before we knew they existed. We are intimately known by God, who cares about the smallest details of our lives and our well-being. The Jewish Study Bible says it like this: "You observe my walking and reclining and are familiar with all my ways." As we journey through life, God surrounds us in all the ups and downs. The knowledge that God knows us better than we know ourselves can be a comforting place to come back and get our bearings. In my mind, the first century Christians must have been living in confusing times. If I'd been walking around with Jesus, I'm sure there had been many times I was scratching my head and asking him to repeat himself. Wasn't quite sure I would get it. Trying to learn the variances of this new faith that was being shared and how it was different from the well-known path of Judaism might have been extremely challenging. As the author of Hebrews shares the stories of the faithful obedience of ordinary men chosen by God, this was comforting to these new Christians. It was something familiar and might have helped them settle in for a bit. But the author doesn't leave these early Christians or us there. We are told to look again at Jesus, the author, or pioneer, as the NRSV says, as our guide. These pillars of faith from chapter 11 became the first cloud of witnesses that bear testimony to the power of faith and to God's faithfulness to us. Then Jesus takes us on a new journey, striking out into the unknown to show us a better way. Jesus pioneered a new path for faithfulness to God. Thinking in terms of having our days mapped out, as in Psalm 139, Jesus became our new map, the GPS, our God positioning system. Now, I will admit, it took a long time for the Paschal family to adapt to even owning a GPS for navigation. And still, there are times I'm unsure about trusting that GPS because it has led us astray on a few occasions. So, thinking of these new Christians trying to learn new ways of living the faith by following Jesus, the one who blazed a new trail, I can only imagine it must have been like hearing the GPS in my car telling me, recalculating, recalculating. Growing up with a grandfather who was a Presbyterian minister and knowing that when the church doors were open, my family was there, was a great foundation for a life of faith. As a college student away from home, making my own decisions, I remember being in my home church one Thanksgiving weekend and breathing a sigh of relief as I settled in for worship. I felt relief as I realized I needed recalculating while trying to study and figure out where I was heading. Along the journey, there have been other times when recalculating was needed. The hardest time was when my father died. But I am grateful for those who walked with me to help me hear God's voice, to get back on the right path. Being part of this FLPC family has showed me perseverance in so many ways. Members of this congregation have experienced turns in their journey that might be an occasion to need recalculating. The birth of a child, the loss of a loved one, health situations that come unexpectedly, being passed over for a new job, a child moving away to start a job, or maybe moving to get married. But I am awed by the way this faith family works together and maps out a new way. Each time we come to worship, pray for one another, take a meal to someone, mentor a confirmand, teach Sunday school, chaperone a youth or children's event, share in the joy of a baptism, or share in the sorrow of a funeral, we are embodying the faith that Jesus set before us. Each of these actions can help guide our fellow travelers. Each gathering of believers is a way to recalibrate and help us get our bearings as we set out again to run the race set before us. The great cloud of witnesses listed in Hebrews 11 is just the beginning. It also includes Margaret MacArthur, the DCE in my home church, who made sure I heard in so many ways how God was calling me as a youth. It includes Al and Lois Hamilton, who spent many years in the presence of young people here in this congregation. Jane Rowell and Suzanne O'Dell, who taught children on Wednesday nights for many years. Mr. Dr. Beth, and Miss Elizabeth, who teach our children the language of faith through music. The many Presbyterian women who have given their time and talents for so many activities over the years. The list is endless right here in this place. Look around. No, I really mean look around. Who has helped orient you to God? And who might need your guidance on this journey of faith? What will your place be among the cloud of witnesses? Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen.